this where it's not maybe just me talking, but maybe we can have some music or some other elements to it. But we're still working out the technology glitches on that. So know that you're welcome to join us online. Know that we'd love to have you in person when the day comes. But we are glad that you are here. Don't forget, afterwards, we will meet on Zoom just to kind of catch up with our week. So those of you that are part of the congregation, you should have that link in your email or via text. And we'd love to see you on there. If you haven't been on in a couple of weeks, we'd love to have you back on just to catch up with you and see how everything is going. We are continuing this week in the Gospel of Matthew, the lectionary text from Matthew 13. And so I'm just going to start by reading this parable and its explanation out of Matthew 13. And then we'll talk for a few minutes about it. And then we will call it an evening and I'll see you on Zoom. But let's go ahead and read the scripture together here. If you happen to have your Bibles in your lap at home, you can open them up to Matthew 13. And we're going to be in Matthew 13 verses 24 through 28. And then skip down to 36 through 43 after that. It says this. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came back to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did all the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Skip down to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out his kingdom of everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." So we have this parable in Matthew 13, one that Jesus tells, and this is one of those, man, this is one of those scriptures. It's got a little bit of everything, right? It's got some fire and brimstone. It's got some, there's a lot going on here. And to be honest, this is one of those scriptures that feels a little dangerous when you're preaching it, right? I mean, if you grew up in church, there's a good chance that you have heard either this parable or something similar that is kind of easily weaponized, right? Verses that lend themselves towards kind of being a billy club as much as they are a helping hand to anyone, right? And today's parable certainly feels like that. It fits that bill, at least to me. Now, never mind the very strange premise here of some kind of, botanical warfare, which is kind of a weird thing. Like you have enemies and they sneak in at night and just plant bad seeds around your good seeds. It's very long-term thinking in regards to a battle. Feels a little more like a high school prank than the attack of an enemy. Nonetheless, the enemy does this, right? In this story, the enemy comes in and sows weed seeds. I'm not sure where you buy weed seeds, but they've got them, and they sow them in among the wheat. And Jesus provides this parable and talks and explains it later on when his disciples ask him, what does it mean? And he explains it to them. And this is one of those parables that if you're kind of putting yourself on Jesus' side, if you're one of the good guys in this parable, if you're some of the golden wheat that is attacked by the weeds, if you are that person, this parable feels good in your hand. It feels nice if you're looking to clobber somebody, right? Because it's about wolves dressed up as sheep, right? It's weeds that appear to be nourishing and sustaining at first, but are not. They're not what they appear to be, and they end up getting in among the good stuff. And actually, this is most likely referring to what was called a darnel, which is, I know it's strange, sounds like just a person's name, but Darnell is when I was studying this week, was called in one commentary, a noxious weed. It's a noxious weed that looks a lot like wheat, right? And so as they grow, it's hard to distinguish between them, but as they get bigger and as they fully mature, the weeds will still stand up nice and straight, but the heavier ears of wheat will start to droop down. And so when they can become fully mature and are ready to be harvested, the ones that are still standing up tall, you're going to know are the darnel, are the noxious weed, and the ones that are starting to droop and hang, that is the wheat. That's the stuff you want, right? So what we have here in these noxious weeds, these darnels, are these imposters. Again, these kind of wolves dressed up as sheep, right? It's walking into a room and seeing that beautiful bowl of fruit and grabbing the apple because it looks perfect and it's plastic, right? It's no worse than that. It is the sinful activity of making an oatmeal raisin cookie that looks like chocolate chips. It looks like something good and holy and pure when in fact it is horrible and satanic and sinful, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And just as we should for those who would dare to put raisins in cookies instead of chocolate chips, in this story, these weeds, like, judgment is coming, as it should for the oatmeal raisin people. Judgment is coming. The weeds will be bound up and cast into the fire, right? And the weeds are, we're told when Jesus explains it, the weeds are evildoers and are, the Greek word is scandalon, or causes of evil is what it says in the New Revised Standard Version. But elsewhere in Matthew, that word scandalon is translated as stumbling blocks. So the weeds are the evildoers and the stumbling blocks. And those things will be burned away, right? I mean, we have the making of a good weapon here, if I'm an angry stalk of wheat, right? You know, our ears burn for the kind of stories where there's devils among us, where there's secret conspiracies and it looks good, but it's not good, right? I mean, we've seen a few of those kind of stories recently and how much people like them and how much they resonate with us as human beings. I mean, who doesn't live to talk about or post those kind of stories, right? We love this kind of stuff because we're the heroes. We are the good, healthy, wholesome seed of God, surrounded by these terrible imposters, all of whom are deserving and destined for the fire, right? This is a good verse to swing. It's fun, right? Except there's a problem. As good as it might feel in our hand, and as much as it might lend itself to some of the language of fire and brimstone that we love to throw around and use to judge other people, there's a little problem in verses 28 through 30, right? As easily weaponized as this verse is, and as real as the kind of imposter weeds might be in the world, Jesus takes all the fun out of it. Because what you want to have happen here is for the servants to say, you want us to go get those weeds? And the owner to say, yeah, tear them out, burn them up, right? Go get them, boys. But that's not what happens. Do you want us to go get those weeds? And the answer is no. Leave them alone. Wait, what? Why would I leave them alone? Go out there and uproot them, right? That's what we should do. Seek out that which is pretending to be, but is not untrue, that which is not what it's supposed to be. Let's go tear that stuff out, right? But Jesus says, no, leave them alone. Let them grow. Let them grow with the wheat. And that is why this text to me, while it would feel really good if I could use it in that one way, becomes kind of a tough parable. Because this is a very disappointing thing for Jesus to tell me to do in this situation. Apparently, it's not my job to identify and root out the scandalon, the things that cause evil, right? It's not my job to go and make that discernment, to make that judgment, and to get rid of it. In fact, it says in the parable that my efforts at doing that, at being the kind of righteous, self-righteous hero, is going to backfire, right? Because I'm going to end up hurting the very thing I'm supposed to be defending and protecting. You will damage that which you're trying to help. This parable to me indicates that I'm supposed to get out of the weeding business altogether. It's not my job. And I'll be honest, I don't really care for that. I was trained to weed. I'm a trained religious weeder, right? Growing up, we talked about this a lot. We identified that which was not right. We went after it. We tried to weed it out for the purity of the church and the purity of our mission and all those kind of things, right? We boldly called out the quote unquote evil ones, and we named the scandal on. Shoot, I thought it was most of my job as a Christian to do those things. And now Jesus is so unkind as to tell me to not do that, to tell me to stop, to tell me that weeding is not in my job description. And the question then came to me this week, why? Why not? Why shouldn't I be doing that? That feels like the right thing to do. It feels good when I do it, to be honest with you. And as I thought about it, I'm guessing there's at least a couple reasons why we should get out of the weeding business, right? The first one is obviously we're not qualified for judgment. And this is some bad news. You are not that smart. I am not that smart. I don't see all the factors. I don't know everything that's going on. I can't see things below the surface. I am not a good judge. It's why all throughout Scripture, God seems to remove that from our list of activities. We're not good judges. And because of that, because we're not good at judging that, our efforts in this area, our efforts to weed, again, are going to do as much harm as they are good. And I think all of us can probably think of examples like this, right? In gathering up those weeds and in that purifying of the field and that weeding out that we want to do, we're going to uproot things that matter. Our efforts to help will hurt. There will be friendly fire. There will be collateral damage. That chemotherapy will not just kill off cancer cells. There's other repercussions there. Ultimately, to take the job of judgment and weeding upon ourselves is to take on a job that's not ours. We're not qualified for it. And not only are we not qualified for it, and maybe this is the more important thing, this is the more interesting thing that came to me this week. Not only are we not qualified for it, but to go ahead and do that is to neglect one of the core truths of what we believe about the kingdom of God. And that is, unlike our world, in the kingdom of God, things don't always stay the same. There's transformation, there's change, right? In our world, a weed is a weed is a weed. It starts a weed as a, you know, when it's a seedling, and it will be a weed when it's harvested. That's the way things work. A weed is a weed. A stumbling block stays a stumbling block. Scandalons remain scandalons. But the kingdom of God is a transformational place, right? Things don't always stay the same. Bad does not always stay bad. There's redemption that's going on in the kingdom of God. Now, I know we're getting into territory. We might be saying, wait a minute, you're saying there's no such thing as judgment, that there is no fire, that there is no any of these kind of things. That's not what I'm saying. Now, there's a lot of nuance to that, and that's a bigger conversation, but I do believe in judgment. In fact, I pray for it. I want the chaff. I want the weeds to be burned out of my own life at some point. I would love for God to get rid of everything that doesn't really matter in my life, right? I mean, that's kind of what I hope happens on the other side of this world for me. But we should take some instruction from where other places we've seen this term scandalon, stumbling block, where we've seen it before, even in Matthew's gospel, right? Because in Matthew 16, as Jesus begins to tell his disciples that he is going to suffer and he is going to die, Peter, always first in the fray, out of the boat, trying to walk on the water, running his mouth, all those things, Peter says to Jesus, no, that can't happen. That shouldn't happen. And in Matthew 16, verses 23, Jesus turns on Peter for basically rebuking him, and he calls him two things. And I'm going to go ahead out on a limb, and there's a lot I don't know, but I feel certain of this. These are two things you don't want to have Jesus call you. He calls him Satan, and he calls him a scandalon, a stumbling block. He says, get behind me, Satan, you are a scandalon, right? You're a stumbling block. That's Peter. the rock on which the church would be built. Peter was a weed. Right? Paul, formerly Saul, who wrote most of our New Testament. Paul hunted Christians. He killed members of the church. He held the clothes of those who killed Stephen, right? He hunted. He was known for it. That's what he's... Paul, Saul, was a weed. All throughout Scripture, we see that weeds have the tendency to change in the kingdom of God. Weeds have a tendency to become something else. Scandalons get saved. Weeds get redeemed into something new and different. That's the kind of thing that happens in the kingdom of God. Now, I understand that this is a lot less fun, right? It's a lot less fun than going out there and naming all its evil and trying to weed it out. We love to call out. We love to cancel. We love to self-righteously rid the world of all those that are not as immensely wise and righteous as I am, right? But we aren't called to just go out there and guard the boundaries, to pull the weeds. We do it all the time, but that's not our calling. And it causes more damage than good. Now, I'm not saying don't tell the truth. I'm not saying that we don't believe in anything. I'm not saying don't tell the truth boldly in love and don't compromise on that which matters. But leave room and space for redemption. Weeds don't stay weeds in the kingdom of God. And it is not our call to pull anyone up by the roots and burn them down. To weed things in that way leaves no room for redemption. This is why we're called to get out of that business. This is why we are called instead to love, to show compassion, right? To show patience and grace. It is all we are called and qualified to do. We're called to enrich the soil, right? To let everything kind of grow together, to enrich the soil, to pray and to love and forgive even our enemies, even the scandalons. This is our calling. And so tonight, maybe I just want to take a moment, let this parable sit in front of this parable, let it hit us instead of using it to hit other people. Remember what our call is and is not. And remember the good news that in the kingdom of God, the weeds don't stay weeds. And that's good news. So let's get out of the weeding business. And to close with a total misquote of a famous war movie, let's just grow them all and let God sort them out. Thanks so much for joining us. Peace be with you. Jump in on the Zoom call after this if you'd like to. Peace be with you. We'll see you again next week.